that Obama was baptized and married into Christianity at Trinity United Church of Christ, and yet did not comprehend the radical nature of black liberation theology is simply not credible, especially not when everyone knows that Obama has sufficient intelligence to have obtained a law degree at Harvard. Obama knew what Wright was preaching. Indeed, he joined that church because of it. Even if Trinity United gave Obama identification with an African-American Christian church that helped him advance in the leftist politics of Chicago, this same association will continue to plague Obama in the general election. A campaign of personality requires, by its very nature, putting a mask on a candidate. Jack Kennedy knew this and took pains not to be portrayed as a war hero. When JFK was asked what he did in World War II to become a war hero, he typically answered dismissively that the Japanese sank his boat. John Kerry, in direct contrast to JFK, whom he emulated, sailed into Boston Harbor for the Democratic National Convention, surrounded by a supporting group of swift boat veterans, and looking like George Washington crossing the Delaware. Neither JFK nor John Kerry needed to present himself as a war hero to qualify to be commander-in-chief. Abraham Lincoln campaigned for president with a modest comment about his limited experience in the little-known Black Hawk War. Yet Lincoln defeated the South in the Civil War. Kerry's mistake was to put on the mask of the war hero in the first place. Axelrod has masked as a messiah-like candidate, a virtual unknown on the national political scene. Obama has already gone through a round of troubles caused by his former pastor. Those troubles are likely to continue as Jeremiah Wright gets more opportunities for interviews during the general election. Wright shows no great sympathy for Obama after Obama asked him to wait in the basement while he gave his speech announcing his candidacy for the president. There is a similar problem with Obama's lofty language about hope and change. Under close analysis, these cries have such extensive antecedents they appear borrowed. The Audacity of Hope, the title of Obama's second book, was first used by Reverend Wright as the title of a sermon. Change is the battle cry championed by radical socialist organizer Saul Alinsky. Nor is Obama helped when anyone examines his self-proclaimed mentor in Hawaii, communist journalist poet Frank Marshall Davis. This relationship might be excused as youthful rebellion until we find Obama being introduced into Chicago politics by African-American socialist Alice Palmer, with a coming-out party first held at the home of Weather Underground heroes William Ayers and Bernardine Dorn. Then we cap the analysis off by seeing the continuity to current Obama public policy positions, running for president, with positions that include a woman's unqualified right to an abortion, a community's unqualified right to impose gun control on gun owners, an expansion of social welfare programs that includes universal health care, nuclear weapons disarmament, and a pledge to withdraw soon, if not now, from Iraq and to reduce military spending. Behind the Axelrod Obama hope and change rhetoric, we find the verbal mask has covered over the development of a liberal Democratic Party politician who, in truth, harbors radical views that are extreme even for most Democrats.